אנחנו קוראים מספר קבלה למתחיל, עמוד 120.
We are reading in the book קבלה למתחיל, קבלה for beginners. The article is the ערבות, the bond, item 21. And we are reminding you that you can ask questions live on the internet at www.kab.tv. Selected questions that are relevant to the subject matter will be asked live. Item 21. Those are the words of Rabbi Elazar, son of Rabbi Shimon, who said that the world is judged by its majority, referring to the role of the Israeli nation to qualify the world for a certain refinement until they are worthy of taking upon themselves his work. No less than Israel were worthy at the time when they received the Torah. Meaning, Israel has two roles. First, they have to correct themselves, and then correct the world. And before the correction is entirely completed, the people of Israel will remain in duty, so to speak, and will be to blame and will be responsible for everything that happens in the world. Rabbi Elazar always speaks about Gmar Tikkun, the world in general, and Rabbi Shimon about Israel. Rabbi Elazar, his son, talks about the whole world. So he says the role of the Israeli nation is to qualify the world. That's it. So again, we're going back to the example of the Creator wanting to give the Torah to the whole world, but they didn't want to receive it because they couldn't use this power of light against the will to receive directly. But here you had to have sparks, nation of Israel that broken, went into exile, etc. So we have two phases in our correction. Israel, who were as a transition sort of piece, which was corrected, and the nations of the world were in egoism to begin with, were corrupted. Israel were in the corrected Golgotha 9, and they received the Torah, which is the Kabbalah, and corrected themselves. And afterwards, at the ruin of the temple, they fell. And Israel and the nations of the world are together for a certain time. This is called exile. And from that time on, Israel has to rise first to the degree they had before, the corrected one. First Israel, and then they have to make the nations of the world too rise to that corrected degree. And then that will be the end of correction. So, Rabbi Shimon speaks about the correction of Israel. And Rabbi Elazar speaks about the correction of the nations of the world. Go on. So the role of the Israeli nation is to qualify the world to a certain refinement until they are worthy of taking upon themselves his work. No less than Israel were worthy at the time they received the Torah. Meaning it's not that we have to correct the nations of the world, who seemingly have no free choice or who have no killing for that in themselves. But after Israel gives to the nations of the world the sparks through the exile, the sparks that exist in the soul of Israel, and then they give to the nations of the world the knowledge about the wisdom of Kabbalah and prepare everything, that's it. Now the nations of the world have the same state as the broken Israel had, and they can continue on the path and correct themselves. Our sages comment on this, that they attain the majority of their virtues by shifting the balance away from the faults, which is the filthy self-love. And of course, if the side of the rights, the merits, which is the sublime attainment of the goodness of the love of a fellow man, rises over the filthy side of the flaws, they become qualified for the agreement and the decision of we shall do and we shall hear, as Israel said. The world has the same status as Israel had at Mount Sinai, or as Israel has now, where they now, just like on Mount Sinai, they have to accept the Torah under the condition called Aravut. So now Israel is under that condition, and then all the nations of the world will have to go under that condition too. And we will have to give them the preparation for it. And this is what we are now beginning to do through the dissemination of the wisdom of Kabbalah to the entire world. Yes. Why are we distinguishing between the parts that first Israel have to correct themselves and then correct the world? Because at the root, Israel were in Gilgalta Einayim, corrected, and the nations of the world in the beginning were not. Where did it come from? I explained many times that we had Babylon, where everything was only one nation. From that Babylon, one soul called Abraham came out, who joined, added to himself as many students as he could, people who had points in the heart, who were already capable of correction. And with these groups, he organized a group. And this group, when it evolved and evolved, came to a state where it was now Israel. Where? By working on themselves and achieving spirituality. When these souls achieved spirituality, meaning bonded into the soul of Adam HaRishon, and discovered this whole system, afterwards, to correct the rest of the Babylonians who did not go for this correction but went egoistically through the ego, who evolved through the ego, and the others evolved through the Kabbalah. So Abraham wanted to correct the whole of Babylon, but he couldn't. So now the correction comes in such a way that this group achieved the level of Israel, straight to God, Gilgalta Einayim, vessels of bestowal, corrected everything it could correct within itself. But here they were separated, meaning they came here as Gilgalta Einayim, as very pure vessels. And the Achabs, the thicker kelim, couldn't understand this method and transcend the ego that they had in Babylon. What did they want in Babylon? In Babylon, let's say that this is the ego that grew in them, and Abraham said, we have to rise above it. It's the same situation as in Mount Sinai. He said, over this mountain of hatred, we have to transcend it, rise above it. And they wouldn't listen, except for a few. And those did rise above it. When you transcend your ego, you acquire Gilgalta Einayim. And that's what they did. The rest only developed their egos. Israel, who corrected the Gilgalta Einayim, later on fell from his degree through the ruin, through the breaking. It was all predetermined. And they are now mingled with the nations of the world. You have Gilgalta Einayim and Achab together, broken, where they are all mingled, giving the sparks to the Achab. Once they give the sparks to the Achab during the exile, and he also took things from the Achab. It's called learning the nation's manners. You take a view from them. So once they did it, now they have to correct themselves. And this is the correction Rabbi Shimon talks about. At first, Israel have to return to correction, to their Gagal Ta'anayim. But in their Gagal Ta'anayim, of course, you have the Achab as well, because they were integrated with the nations of the world. And then make the nations of the world give them the wisdom of Kabbalah. The nations of the world now have sparks in them too, and now, so now they can correct themselves, meaning to bring them to the same status, same state as Israel's. But without Israel first correcting themselves and bringing themselves to the degree they had before, they will not be able to convey the method of correction, the Kabbalah, to the nations of the world. They won't have anything to convey. First, they have to correct themselves. First, within that same system of Adam HaRishon, they have to be corrected, Galgal Ta'anayim, corrected once. And then they give the method of correction to the Achab. Or you can picture it as a pyramid, where this part, which is easier for correction, first has to do it, and then the harder part. Yes. Can't it happen together? What do you mean? Meaning when we correct ourselves and at the same time the world too. You're right, sorry. Yes. We correct ourselves, and of course, in the correction of each and every one of us, we also correct the whole world, because it's a closed system. We can't correct yourself, but only by participating in each and every one. And of course, by your correction, you already prepare corrections in all the souls, because you're integrated in everyone. So if you correct yourself, your corrected part is in all the other souls, and they begin to feel something as a result. Because there's no me. Everyone is integrated in me, and there's no you. Everyone is integrated in you. So if you have a million people who corrected themselves, and you are integrated with everyone, then that part of those little million that are included in you, you begin to sense it. How do you begin to sense it? Suddenly you have thoughts and desires about things that you never dreamed of previously. You weren't attracted to them. That's the inclusion, the integration, or incorporation. We are in the system of Adam HaRishon. We can't escape it, but it's broken. And that's why those who correct themselves sentence themselves and the entire world to a scale of merit. Yes. And of course, we're repeating the paragraph, which is the sublime attainment of the goodness of the love of the fellow man rises over the filthy side of the flaws. They become qualified for the agreement in the decision of we shall do and we shall hear, as Israel said. But before that, meaning before they attain the right or the merit, self-love would certainly prevent them from agreeing to take on that burden. Our sages said, if he performed one mitzvah, he has made the whole world righteous, meaning that he adds his individual particle of Israel to the general decision, as he who weighs seeds of sesame and adds them one by one to the scale until there are enough to shift the balance. Certainly, everyone takes part in this shifting process, without which it would never have been completed. And therefore, he says about the act of an individual from Israel that he makes the whole world righteous. Because when the shifting of the world, of the whole world, is through, then each and every individual will have taken part in it, or else it would never have been completed. Thus you find that Rabbi Elazar son of Rabbi Shimon, does not dispute the words of our sages that all of Israel is responsible for one another. But Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon, speaks of the correction of the whole world at the time of the end of correction, whereas our sages speak of the present, where only Israel takes upon itself the burden of the Torah. There is a question, the point to which a person can correct himself, because if we are in a single system called Adam HaRishon, and we have many, many souls here, some of which, even though they're called Israel, so some of them are called Israel and some are called the nations of the world. How, if this system is integrated and interconnected, where everyone must be connected to everything and everyone else, then how is it possible that Israel correct themselves if the last person in the nations of the world will be corrected? Because spirituality is wholeness. You can't have parts, you can't have halfway, you can't go halfway. But the correction will be lacking in everyone until everyone's corrected. And we feel this in the Avot, as we learn that if in anyone there is a lack, if we take an example from here, if we take the example of a group as a sample, and in that group create the Avot, right? Then in the Avut, in the small group, you have the same conditions. It's like in a holographic picture, where part and the whole is the same. You have all of the details in it. So in this group too, we have to achieve the same state, where each part, regardless of whether it's 10 or 200 or whatever, if any part is not in the Avot, then you have no completeness. You can't receive the Torah. They are incomplete. Incomplete, not, they're not equal to the light. Even if it's just a fraction of a percent. The Avot has to be total, like the light. Just like the light is complete, so is this condition. So, as we progress in bits and pieces. And also not the whole of Israel, but a small part of it is separated from the whole of Adam HaRishon and creates a group for itself. And perhaps another part is separated and builds a group for itself. And thus, many groups. And there is a connection between them in spirituality. They do know, they don't know each other. It falls into place. And then gradually, in this way, they are corrected. But the end of correction of the world can only be on the condition that the last person, the last soul, will complete all of the corrections. Because its share in each and every one will be absent. Item 22. And that is what Rabbi Elazar, son of Rabbi Shimon, speaks of concerning the verse, "One sinner destroyeth much good." Because it has already been shown in item 20 that the impression that comes to a man by dealing with mitzvot between man and God is completely the same as the impression he gets from the mitzvot between man and man. Because he is obliged to perform all the mitzvot lishma, for her name, without any hope of self-love, meaning that no illumination and hope returns to him through his trouble in the form of reward or honor, etc. For here, in this exalted point, the love of God and the love of man unite and actually become one. It turns out that he makes a certain degree of progress on the ladder of loving his fellow man in all the people of the world. Because that degree which that individual awakened in his actions, whether large or small, ultimately joins the future in shifting the balance of the world to the merit. Because his share is added to the weight. And he who commits one sin, who cannot overcome and conquer his filthy self-love, which makes him steal or do something of the sort, shifts himself and the whole world to the wrong. Stealing is any will to receive that we use for ourselves is called stealing, as it is written that Adam Hashem was a thief. From whom could he have stolen? The will to receive is called a thief. Because with the revelation of the filth of self-love, the low nature of creation reinforces, and he is found to be subtracting a certain amount of the merit, much like a person who takes back from the scale the sesame seed his friend has put there, which raises the wrong side of the scale that much upward. It turns out that he takes the world backwards, as they said, that one sinner destroys much good. For because he could not overcome his petty desire, he pushed the spirituality of the whole world backwards. This is what we said before, that there is one law to the individual or to everyone with respect to the Creator. Adam HaRishon is one. There aren't many. That's why, yes, the Creator is one, and correspondingly, there is Adam HaRishon as light and clean. And this is why we need to make ourselves as one man and one heart, love their friends as yourself, etc. All of these sayings that talk about unity. That's why if everyone adds something to himself, he adds to everyone because he joins the part that he corrected. He adds it to everyone. If it is the opposite, if he subtracts, and he who makes the smallest sin destroyeth much, because he puts in everyone this evil, and then it's as if, well, you know, what did I do? I took a little bit, I stole a little something, but actually the participation in all the souls prevents them from progressing, and then a person cannot even appreciate how this influence is like a roller coaster. It's like a snowball. It increases, and in the connection between them, everyone's connected to others because someone sinned. So it's a huge system. And so, well, in medicine, they see it a little bit that if there's a small pain that's corrupted in the body, it actually affects the whole body. So, as much as he explains to us, it's still impossible for us to feel it, but those who go into that system and enter it, for them it's it becomes like a very clear and hard example. It's like a car. If in any place there is the slightest fault, slightest defect, if a screw isn't turned all the way closed a little bit, the car won't go. It's either 100% or zero. That's how we are in spirituality. And we ourselves, we're like that too. So how can you expect that of a person? No. We are past the five worlds here. And that's why we are permitted to behave with egoism, or maybe in Lolishma. Say Lolishma, say that's the world Asiya, Yitzira, up to Chazed Yitzira. We have Lolishma. And from Chazei Deitzira onward, we have Lishma. There, we must be corrected. Until Chazei Deitzira, we have the world Asiya, which is double concealment. And here, you have single concealment. And here there begins the reward and punishment and love. Yetzira, Bria, Atzilut, and Adam Kadmon. This is already Ein Sof. All the worlds. Yes. A viewer from the Ukraine is asking, why is there a difference in the impression of in the sensation of the mitzvot between man and man and man and God? Meaning, why is there no difference between giving or receiving from the Creator and giving or receiving from a friend? Because if I am talking about spirituality, which is my attitude toward anyone, and that it is without any reference, so to speak, to me. Spirituality means I have no consideration of myself. I'm only considering that other. So that other isn't felt in me. It isn't felt in me as someone who exists. If I'm detached, totally detached from myself, and acquire a spiritual clear vessel of bestowal, in it I feel the other only, not myself. Only the other. And then I either relate to the Creator or to a friend or to anyone. For me, it's all the same. With respect to my ego, there is no difference. This is why love that friend as thyself is a great rule in the Torah, from the love of man to the love of God. Because it's the same thing. But we have several people around us through which or on which we can practice and achieve love of God, but it's actually the same thing, except this is revealed, the people are revealed and the Creator is hidden, but it's the same rule. With respect to my ego, there is no difference. If there is a difference between Creator and friend, it's a sign that I'm thinking of myself. Who has given me a greater benefit? With whom is it worthwhile to be in touch? Well, let's continue. Item 23. With these words, we clearly understand what we said above, item 5, about the Torah being given specifically to the Israeli nation, because it is certain and unequivocal that the purpose of creation lies on the shoulders of the whole human race, whether black, white, or yellow. Meaning, the wisdom of Kabbalah as a means for correction of the world has nothing to do with the Torah, with the popular Torah, which in the people of Israel it is called Torah. It is a method of correction, and because the whole world is corrupted, it should be used by the whole world. And here we just have to see how it is possible to influence, to affect, to help the whole world achieve correction, meaning follow the counsels of Kabbalists as much as we understand them and realize them as truthfully as we can. The whole world is actually needs a correction, and it's the same method for the whole world. As he says, black, white, or redhead, whatever. Everyone is in the egoistic nature and have to be corrected, and we are the owners of the method, and that's why we have the responsibility to quickly and comfortably provide this method to the whole world.
Okay.
Yes. Those who are in Israel but not in that small group, how do they affect the group? Why are you calling our group small? Well, small relative to the whole world. I mean, we're scattered all over the world, but it's not everyone yet. Meaning, you don't judge by power, you power by counting heads. You know, according to the Torah, it's forbidden to count heads. It's according to the half shekel or something else, but not according to the people. In spirituality, you count according to spiritual power. There's a powerful in quality and powerful in quantity. So it's not quite, well, okay, so let's say let's go with your assumption. How can a small group affect the whole world? On the contrary. What on the contrary? How is the part that is here in our country but not along our way, how is it affecting us? First of all, I want to continue. Judging by history, all of the revolutions and any progress happened only through individuals, through individual people who did it. The Renaissance was done by maybe 20 or 30 people, even less, who got together and decided to create a cultural revolution in Europe, which was then totally barbaric. People were eating each other, etc. Quantity comes through several people getting together. That's the whole change in the quality. And only if you judge by heads, you only judge by the physical or corporal power of those who execute. So how is the world affecting us? It's not. Not at all. How can it affect us? With which opinion or value can they affect us? What have I got to learn from the world? Only be sorry for them. What's to learn? How they behave? How they live purposelessly, not knowing why they exist, what leads them, what guides them? These are creatures who understand nothing about their lives. I'm not disrespectful toward them. It hurts. It hurts how they behave from dawn to dusk. From the moment they get up to the moment they go to bed, they only run away from pleasures and look for from pains and look for petty pleasures. And that's their whole lives. Of course we have to be sorry for it and try to accelerate evolution and understand that this life can be a basis for spiritual ascension, for eternity, for perfection. But they can't yet. They are affecting you if you love them and you want to feel for their pains so as to help them become corrected. Not just to fill them up with something that's not correction, that's corruption, but to help them understand why they are suffering and how to achieve a state where the troubles and the pains, the situation it leads them to explain to them why it happens and the goal which they can achieve if they use those pains correctly. That's it. You just have to open the map of reality to them, where they are, what is the plan, and how to realize it. You look at the world from 100 degrees above them. Well, it's actually a lot more than that. But so what's to be integrated with? I don't understand. Of course I'm not talking about a person who just came to study. I'm talking about those who already have some spiritual awareness. How can they be affected by the world? Of course they are affected by the world, but they are affected only so as to study the world, so as to know how to approach them better, in which way it will be more convenient to explain them who they are, what they are, where they come from. So it's out of pain, it's out of love. But you're affected the way a parent is affected by his child. They say that the youngest child is the head of a family. It's true because the whole family is around him. But they're not affected by the little one's reason and knowledge, or they're just integrated with the little one's desire to provide him the best in a purposeful manner, so they develop. There's nothing else that we have toward the world except this attitude. How can I be affected by what? By politicians, actors, those quote unquote spiritual people of all sorts, philosophers? By whom? I tried it to be connected to them. I saw that you can't even talk to them for the time being until they grow internally, humanly, to the degree of a human, of a human being. They can be a great philosopher, but he's still immersed in egoism and doesn't know the evolution, doesn't know the systems. He can cry and yell about ecology and climate and the state of the world, but doesn't understand the forces that operate in this world. But he wants to resolve it through having better relationships among people. You understand? And we have to propel a broad and extensive evolution until we can actually talk to people. And for the time being, it's only dissemination. What does the conveyance of the Torah to the nations of the world depend on our desire or on their deficiency? Conveying the wisdom of Kabbalah to the nations of the world depends on both, on two things. First, have we completed our mingling with them? Is the exile over? And the exile was over at the time of the Aliyah, because he is the Messiah, son of Joseph. From his time onward, the correction had to start. And this is why we can approach the nations of the world. On the one hand. On the other hand, we can approach them on condition that we are already at some degree of correction. We can't just open the wisdom of Kabbalah. There's nothing to open there. You have to have a method, clear, an approach which is understood by everyone, translated into languages, brought down to a place where an ordinary person can understand it, and then you begin the change. Why, before we are corrected, is it good for us to begin to disseminate the wisdom of Kabbalah to the nations of the world? Because actually Rabbi Shimon says that we have to be corrected first, and then the nations of the world. And that's what Baal HaSulam explains at the end of the introduction to the book of Zohar, that Israel have to correct themselves first, and then the Torah will kind of pour out from Israel to the nations of the world. But the problem is that we disseminate to the nations of the world. When we do that, we disseminate to those parts in us. When I disseminate to them, it comes back to me, not just at the economic or political level or whatever, that I'm changing some priorities in this world and making this world a little closer in general to Israel in corporeality, but it's in the souls. If the nations of the world are now beginning to think and to understand the correction the way we do, then my part in them and their part in me, because we are connected, all connected, it becomes to reciprocally, if you can say that, connect, or mutually. That's why Bala Sulam writes that the horn of the Messiah is the dissemination of the wisdom of Kabbalah to the nations of the world. Moreover, after the Ari, we had examples of Kabbalists who came out and taught the nations of the world, even in those days, Amchal, Abu Lafia. They taught the nations of the world. We have the documentation and the kind of attitude that they were given by the Jews for that. But this is how they wanted to correct the world. They wanted to accelerate it, the correction. Yes. There are many questions. There's a question from Chile. Should everyone correct themselves, even the Aboriginal, for example? The Aboriginal. And then there is no creature. There is no woman-born creature who has the image of a human being and who has a soul at whatever level, which is not integrated with the other souls and which doesn't have to correct him or herself. According to our corporal eyes, it seems like those Aboriginals or maybe others that they are uncivilized peoples, but this is incorrect because we are talking about internal personal development, about human development in a person, not about technological evolution or progress. If that's the case, then you have to say that in the time of Abraham, the Babylonians succeeded. They evolved so much, look at what they had. But with this development, they wanted what? To fulfill their will to receive. And now they feel that this fulfillment is worthless. So what was this development for? It's a dead-end road, and it's a road of falsehood. The ideal way would have been to correct themselves on top of their will to receive, which jumped, which increased in Babylon. So we can't measure people with the scales that we have in this world, with the standards that we have in this world, how civilized they are, how many languages they speak, the kind of science they have, how cultural they are. With respect to the spiritual correction and spiritual sensation, you might have an Eskimo somewhere who is closer and more sensitive to it than, well, certainly more than the Europeans. We see how they accept the wisdom of Kabbalah in Europe. Even let's take Latin America, for example. He's asking from Chile. So compared to Latin America, where people are more sensitive, more understanding, even though they are in Catholicism, they are much more into Catholicism than in Europe. It doesn't matter, but they sense that this method has to do with the soul, not with physical behavior. I know the groups there. That's why in Latin America we have so many students now, so many friends. So their spiritual development, their human development, is much higher than that of the Europeans, much more. The Europeans are immersed in their stigmas, and that's it. Yes. You fell asleep? Paragraph but. But because of the dissent in item 23, but because of the descent of the human nature to the lowest degree, which is the self-love that rules over all of mankind, there was no way to negotiate with them and persuade them to agree to take upon themselves, even as an empty promise, the exit from their narrow world into the wide spaces of the love of man. All except the Israeli nation, because they were enslaved in the savage kingdom of Egypt for 400 terrible years. Our sages said that as salt sweetens meat, so agony polishes man. Meaning, they bring the body a great purification, and in addition, the purification of their holy fathers reflected upon them, as some of the verses of the Torah testify. Because of these two forewords, they were qualified for it, which is why they are spoken of in singular form in there Israel camped before the mountain, which our sages interpret as one man in one heart. That is because each and every person from the nation detached himself completely from self-love and wanted only to benefit his friend, as we have shown above in item 16, regarding the meaning of the mitzvah of love thy friend as thyself. It turns out that all the individuals in the nation have come together and became one man and one heart. For only then were they qualified to receive the Torah. Questions? I don't know what to add here. Again, as we said, what is that special purification and special preparation? You have souls in the system of Adam Rishon that are purer or coarser. The purer souls are attracted, more attracted to spirituality. That's how it was with the soul of Adam Rishon, who was Adam. He was the first person to discover the Creator from the whole of mankind. Humanity has been around for tens of thousands of years until the Rishimot came to a point where in one of those people began the question, what is the meaning of my life? What am I living for? What do I exist for? He was called Adam. And he lived about 5,767 years ago. And as Baal HaSulam says, he is the first to have achieved this system, the relationship with the upper force. He discovered it. And after him, it took 20 generations until Abraham, who engaged in it. Abraham didn't start from nothing. The wisdom of Kabbalah at that time, the contact with the Creator, existed in humans here and there. And Abraham, when he began to discover it, he actually discovered things that already existed in souls in the previous correction that they made, those 20 generations from Adam Rishon to Abraham. When Abraham discovered it, he also discovered it from himself with his own free choice and with the effort he made. He drew more people, those who had an inclination because of the purity of their soul to sense spirituality, so he collected them and went with them. But even though this group got together and it got together to reveal spirituality, it couldn't reveal spirituality more than appeared in the roots, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which are called the patriarchs, the head of the degree. Why? Because they lacked of youth. So then greater of youth erupted, which is called the exile in Egypt, not because they physically went down to Egypt. It talks about the internal spiritual exile, where the will to receive erupted in them, and when they absorbed all of it, when they were integrated with it, they were worthy of receiving the method of correction, of transcending it. And this is called the reception of the Torah. If you suffered by the will to receive enough and you want to transcend it, go ahead. Prove that you can, that you want it. That's the condition of the avod. And then you will receive the method of correction. If the desire in you is a desire for avod, then you are ready for the reception of the Torah. This is basically the condition they had at Mount Sinai, meaning what exists now before us too. We are past the crisis of Israel and the integration with the nations of the world, with that Babylon. Today we are at the foot of Mount Sinai. Everyone is broken. Everyone is already past this great Egypt that now the whole world senses how dangerous our ego is, how it controls us, and that we have to somehow transcend it, otherwise we won't be able to talk to each other, we won't be able to achieve any kind of agreement about to preserve life, to preserve life all over the world, ecology and everything. So every moment and every day we are discovering the human egoism as the source of all evil in the world at every level. And this places us before Mount Sinai, before the collective ego of humanity, where if we do not achieve bonding among us, then we will just end up in destruction. And the bonding among us, for that we have to discover it with our willingness called Ovut, and this is only possible through the expansion of the wisdom of Kabbalah, which explains what reality is, what is the system of the souls, why it is important, why there is no choice, which forces operate in nature, and so on. After we feel, once we feel that this is the fact, this is nature, then we gradually begin to see the future, and we agree to the Ovut. And then we accept the method and realize it and transcend the ego and thus reach Gmar Tikkun. Yes. At Mount Sinai they all said one heart and one body. At Mount Sinai, the people of Israel had only left the exile in Egypt. Before, the exile in Egypt was in sanctity. A greater will to receive appeared. And it is written that there was hunger in the land of Israel, and they came, went down to Egypt. They went down to Egypt with Jacob, Yaakov, an extension from the Rosh, from the patriarchs. The descent to Egypt means knowing what is the ego that is now erupting in us, so as to correct it. They were separated from this ego. They had the seven good years, and then the ego prevailed. They had the seven bad years, the 7 years of famine. But famine doesn't mean that they didn't have anything to eat. It means that the will to receive appeared in humanity, as it is now happening in humanity. We feel hunger, we feel empty, we don't know what's happening with us, what's going to happen tomorrow, or nothing. This is the hunger, the absence of fulfillment in our kelim, the emptiness. So then, when they felt this hunger, they discovered that there was a foreign domination here. But again, even though they mingled with the Egyptians and took kelim from the Egyptians, that mingling wasn't one in the other. The people of Israel didn't break. It was a nation, meaning the spiritual concept within a person and his evolution. It's just evolution in avyut of bet deit lapshut. It's bina. Even though they were in Egypt, it's bina which exists next to malchut, but it's still not mingled with it, bonded with it. When they built the first and second temples, they were still not mixed with the nations of the world. They built the first and second temples, Mochin de Neshama and Mochin de Chaya, on top of their egos, without mingling with it. This last exile, the fourth exile, that we are in the end of it, which actually it is over, it is the exile where the kelim were actually mingled. We lost, first of all, in the ruin, we lost the spiritual degree. Before that, since the time of Abraham, we never lost the spiritual degree. There were always prophets, Tanaim. There were, the people had a spiritual level, and everyone understood and felt this upper system. The Creator was revealed to everyone internally. People felt the system. It was obvious, not out of blind faith, but out of knowing. Until it stopped at the ruin of the temple. And this is why at the last exile we say that we are mixed with the nations of the world, that we are at the same degree. You have the same problems and same thoughts as theirs. That's why our correction is a real correction at the real Mount Sinai. And with this we conclude. This concludes our lesson. We thank our viewers, and no messages. Yes, but a few messages before we end. Where are they? Oh, here they are. A new course of 14 meetings, 14 sessions will begin on May 21st on Mondays between 6 and 9:15 p.m. Because of the approaching book week, you can order Rav Lightman's books on the internet and at the bookstore. And the bookstore at Bet Kabbalah is open to serve you Sunday through Thursday from 10:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Fridays 9 a.m. through 12 p.m. Rav Lightman's lectures at Bet Kabbalah are held Tuesdays at 7 p.m. and Fridays at 9 a.m. at 112 Zabotinsky Street, Petah Tikva. For further details, call 1-700-509-219. This concludes our lesson. Have a good day and good night.